We're going to start from the beginning, guys. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday edition of Coffee Tea with Me. Today, it's an honor and a privilege once again to welcome back Robert Scott Bell, Robert Scott Bell Show, and in my opinion, the smartest young holistic practitioner on earth. Now, Yolanta got quiet, and Samantha started, and she's going to start again. Samantha, give us a question. The history at this point is still history. We can't going to change that. But we're glad that you've come here. And my understanding was that after all of this time, all of this money, you have not received what you felt would be your desired results. Is that a fair analysis of what you told me?
Yes, very. So number one question is, ivermectin on it for. I have a scalp cream compounded, and I have a facial. I have a nasal spray, gosh, and I take it orally. So I'm spending a lot of money on that. Is that something that you recommend I keep up with the protocol?
Well, I personally have always said that I don't like mixing protocols, but we have a guest here, and we also have Peter here, and we can get their opinions. Now, what you're saying is you're going to be going on to the Logos Nutritionals protocol. Is that correct?
I'm going to follow your protocol. I don't know it yet. I just spoke to you yesterday, so I had a full weekend, but I'm going to read up all about it, and absolutely, protocol.
Okay, so the question is, should you continue to take ivermectin? Well, Robert, what do you think?
Well, we know ivermectin has succeeded because it's antiparasitic, as was hydroxychloroquine, and, you know, it was suddenly applied in the era of COVID, but many people found benefits because so many, whether they're diagnosed with Morgellons or Lyme, are also dealing with a parasitic burden. So one of the things we've added to the protocol in recent years is the bioactive copper hydrosol, the sovereign copper, because copper is nature's or God's most potent antiparasitic mineral, and it also is so critical for many pathways of energy production as well as inflammation reduction without suppression or damage to the liver. So I have found, in fact, that there's a lot of botanicals that can be blended together to do what ivermectin does without resorting to ivermectin, particularly an herbal form of it called herbalmectin or H-mectin. I mentioned in a previous call, and that was a young couple out of Utah that developed that and helped my daughter with weird skin rashes when she was around people who had COVID injections where not even the ivermectin worked. And the herbalmectin, you can find it healthsaves.org if you want to look into it further, but you're also new to the protocol, so you're going to be learning a lot about how it works, the efficacy, as well as how your body responds.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll give you one more since you're brand new. We call you newbies, and everyone here welcomes you, honey, because everyone here knows exactly what's going on.
Okay, this is probably a big one. I got two great, wonderful, loving dogs. I feel like they are infected. I can't get rid. I haven't bought enough vacuum cleaners, constantly cleaning. But I just feel like moving fibers are everywhere. What should I do with the house and dogs?
Oh, boy, we're going to have a varied amount of opinions here. So, Robert, do you mind if I go first?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. I love children and dogs more than people. Okay. And in the 30 years that I was crippled, I was gifted with three generations of the same Belgian Shepherd. And when the grandson died, part of me died. But if you're a pet owner, with a long-haired dog and you're suffering from this disease, you better learn how to treat the dog if it's possible, or you're going to have to get rid of the dogs. Robert, your take. Your take. Peter's going to be worse than I am about this.
Well, you got the shedding issue, of course, if you have a long-haired dog, and that's a constant battle. That doesn't end because it's their nature. But obviously, as you improve their health, the things that are coming out of them, and including their shedding, will be less problematic for you. So making sure they're on a species-appropriate diet, and if you have to, you know, let's say address any issues that they are suffering from that's kind of compounding yours, you know, holistic veterinary medicine is something that doesn't involve drugs. You know, it involves homeopathy and basic herbal formulas as well. So as far as the health of these animals, it reflects our health. So there's obviously a huge industry surrounding pet food, and most of it is not fit for animal consumption, plus human consumption. So big question, as you're journeying to your health, you know, restoring your health, looking at these animals, it's a parallel journey. And there are homeopathic remedies that can address, like animal dander, that you can utilize to reduce any inflammatory or hyperimmune response in the presence of these shedding animals. So I'll leave it at that for the moment if you have further questions or anybody wants to add something to that.
Okay, well, we have in the search engine a lot of articles, and they can be located three different ways. First, you put in the word just cats in the search engine. You read everything that's there. Then you put just dogs. You read everything that's there. Then you put pets, and you read everything that's there. Because some people have had success, and some people have had no success. So it's going to be an extra amount of work at a time when I'm not really sure that one needs extra work. Peter, what do you think?
Yeah, good morning. Morning, Robert. I think a medical-grade air purifier for the fibers is probably critical, in my humble opinion. I agree with Robert. I would make sure you're not feeding the animal grains. And you might want to consider treating with chlorine dioxide. Carrie Rivera has a great protocol for that and an explanation of how it works. I put a link up to her presentation on chlorine dioxide. And then I would also lean into clean green enzymes. I would make sure the animal has short hair, as short as possible, or the animals. And I would be spraying their bedding. And if you can, make a habit of spraying them a couple times during the course of the day, and particularly when they're coming in and out. If they're in grassy areas outside, we have all these mites and, you know, microscopic arthropods. That might be a consideration. So, but I think first and foremost, I would go with a medical-grade air purifier for the fibers you mentioned. Yeah.
I thank you. I have that. I bought a couple. So thank you.
You're
the
welcome.
Other are great suggestions. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we're going to move along, but you'll get another chance as we come around a second time usually. So next, okay, it looks like we have Donna. Is that you, Donna?
Yeah, it's me. Hi there,
okay,
everybody.
Before you ask a question, I want you to know that your predecessor, I spoke with her yesterday, and she said, did you ever get to talk to her? And I said, yeah, but you know what was wrong? And she said, oh, no, Mel, what'd you do wrong? I said, wait a minute. I said, I had the wrong number. She said, oh, yeah, yeah. So she said, I'll be back. I don't know if I'll be back this weekend, but I'll be back, and I'll let you know when, because I'd like to talk to her. So that's the update on the Donnies.
You can always give her my number. That's fine.
Okay. I heard you say it. Let's continue now with your questions.
Okay. So I have, when he said herbalmexin, did he say herbalsage.com? Is that what he said?
Oh, it's Health Saves. Health Saves. Two words together. .org.
Say.org. I got it all wrong. Okay.
That's okay.
All right. Sorry. And then,
Wait. That's the only rule we have on this whole website. The only rule. You cannot be sorry. Take it back.
Well, all righty then. I'm on day 51 of the protocol, so I'm 9 days away, and I start the Lyme protocol. My question is, I'm also drinking the I'm on my second, during my third week of the SEXT, because Peter put it on there. Would I still have to do like the WPS if I'm successful with the SEXT?
Well, not many people ever got well without it. Okay.
Okay.
Peter, what do you think? Peter, what do you think? Let's hear what Peter says.
Sure.
I mean, he put an article by an independent researcher, a woman, a doctor, all about sodium chloride and the benefits and how it's not only good for people and so many different ailments, but also it's safe for pets when used properly. So I would say that it's very nice to drink tea in the morning, but that's not going to replace what WPS is going to do.
Doing the SEXT 6 ounces 3 times a day.
Okay.
There have been some questions about, you know, healthy teas, and that subject had come up. Cindy Casey, I believe was her name, was a nurse in Canada back in the 50s and 60s that was written up in several of medical journals, if my memory serves me right, that indicated that she was having some success with reversing cancers and slowing the growth of cancers using SEACT. So I don't know that there would be a conflict with the chlorine dioxide. I would certainly separate them if possible in your dosing schedule. But, you know, the SEACT, it has four herbs, I think, slippery elm, rhubarb, a couple others that are pretty powerful. So I don't know if I'd be drinking it 3 times a day, but I would separate it from the chlorine dioxide. The chlorine dioxide, Kerry Rivera has had some degree of success with autism and spectrum disorder. And I believe that's because of the correlation with heavy metals and that particular issue with children. And so it probably would be forming some capacity to chelate metals out of the body would be my best guess. But again, the chlorine dioxide over a decade of use with this protocol has been quite effective. You can also treat your animals with a low dose as well. So I would first take your discovery into understanding chlorine dioxide, what it does as an antioxidant, how it works, and make sure there's no conflict with your primary care physician. Have a discussion with him or her, and then let the Lord lead you. But I would separate it from the SEACT, and I don't know if I'd drink the SEACT more than once a day.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Whoa, wait. Robert, do you have a thought? Because, you know, I don't think anything is going to replace it. I was just blessed when the copper came along and we found out after 15 years that there was something else that could kill the parasitic component of toxic diseases. But a tea? Yeah, the teas are great, but they're not going to replace anything like the copper or the WPS, in my opinion. Robert?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I've been working with SEACT for decades as well, but in conjunction with, this protocol, it's kind of an add-on bonus, to do if you were going to do it once a day. But it does not replace the key elements that have proven to be successful over many years at this point. So it's not harmful, but as Peter mentioned, you don't need to overdo it either.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all.
Good. Hmm. All right, Aaron, a question. Aaron.
Can you hear me? Hello?
We're all here. We're all ears.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can all hear you.
Okay. I would like to hear a little bit more about the copper being used with the protocol and the safety of it.
So, well, let me just put it to you this way. When the copper was first introduced to the group, since my first guiding principle is first do no harm, I shied away from letting anybody go near it for 5 or 6 months. And then we had this one young lady who I had been coaching and treating for, I don't know, maybe a year or so. And it looked like she was going to go the wrong way, that she might not stay alive. Well, I didn't hear from her for about 6 weeks. And then she called me screaming, I'm all better, I'm all better, I'm all better. But what do you mean you're all better? You were going to die 6 weeks ago. I was sending flowers. She said, Mel, the copper is amazing. I said, what? She said, the copper is amazing. And then I started getting reports from a guy, Brian, who I asked to try it. And he told me that in the beginning, it really made him very tired. But he read about it, and it was because he had a lack of it in his system. And we need so much in order to function properly. But we didn't know until a few more people who I was coaching, who I asked to go on the copper, and they all make quicker restoration. These people, full-time workers, full-time family, drive cars, have a business besides the week on the weekends, besides their jobs, and these guys are going to be out of here in about 3 years. That's amazing, considering how much energy they go into everything else they're doing. But they're so religious. And then there's Nancy. She came here with every disease you could possibly imagine, more doctors you could shake a stick at. And she went to the wrong guy first, lost most of her money and almost her whole house. So this protocol ain't proper if you don't take your copper. Amen. Robin, get in here.
All right. All right. Well, the mineral copper is an essential trace element. So essential, in fact, you know, if a woman is pregnant, she needs more. If she's breastfeeding, she needs more. The baby needs copper. The baby, once born, needs copper for growth. We've been sold a kind of a series of lies about copper being toxic. Yes, it can become toxic just like anything, but the margins you have are far larger than they would acknowledge. The lack of copper in the diet, and I've done a more comprehensive presentation on this for this group. You could probably go back and listen, but I'll drop the highlights at least in here for you, because with so many new people, it is worth revisiting. The source for dietary copper for most of our ancestry was organ meats, primarily liver we would eat, but very few people do that. But we also see that since the advent of chemical farming and monocropping post-World War II, most of the minerals have been depleted outside of the ones they had in pelletized form, and that includes copper. And if you look at the list of mineral deficiencies in the soil, copper is number one, and that's not a good number one. It's between 70 and 80% reduced since the advent of chemical farming. So we have a very significant depletion in the food, even if you eat a vegetarian diet where copper would normally occur in certain vegetable foods. Bee pollen is a good source for copper, by the way, as well, but it's fractionally there relative to what it once was, similar to, like I've talked about, selenium. And they, you know, the doctors love to tell you how toxic selenium can be along with copper, yet these two minerals probably more important than almost any in terms of reversing a disease and keeping you away from doctors. So we have a very poor absorption capacity and digestive capacity of dietary copper as well. Let's assume it's there. If you have ideal digestion, you might absorb and utilize 30 to 40% of the copper coming in through the diet. But now we know there's a fraction of the percentage of copper we once had coming in through the diet. So we're at severe deficit. And then we come to the last few years where even doctors were prescribing minerals and vitamins for COVID. particularly two among them, zinc and vitamin C, in very high doses. And both of those minerals, in the absence of copper, deplete copper from the body very rapidly. So we made a bad situation even worse, even if we were doing certain good things like zinc and C. In nature, zinc comes with copper. In nature, C comes with copper. So we've depleted copper on top of not having access to much copper and not eating copper-rich foods anymore. Now, what does that mean? It impacts the inflammatory pathways significantly. That is, we end up in systemic, unremittent inflammation that never resolves, as opposed to dealing with an acute response to an injury or an infection where inflammation is part of the recovery process. Now we get stuck in that and we become degenerative in our immune response, not regenerative. So copper is critical for managing the inflammation response and the immune response in a healthy way to help with regeneration as well. In addition, the fatigue that is so common among us, much less people that are just in general chronically ill, is due in large part to the absence of copper, because copper works critically with another mineral that most people are not afraid of, magnesium, to produce adenosine triphosphate at the mitochondrial level, the ATP, that's the energy within the mitochondrial function for every cell in the body, and then, of course, impacting the general sense of well-being when we have adequate energy production versus not. And, of course, when we're in chronic systemic immune response and inflammation, the energy that we're producing is robbed from our utilization for healing and regeneration and is just in survival or fight or flight mode. So we deplete to the point of exhaustion, and then we're feeling, whether we're going to die immediately or not, we feel like we're going to. So copper is one of the critical minerals of all minerals for energy production as well. And that's just, again, two key areas where copper is critical and it's completely deficient. And then we talk about skeletal and connective tissue integrity. It's not only the inflammatory response, it's the ability to regenerate healthy new connective tissue. And then copper, not only when you think about connective tissue integrity, but it's the enzymes themselves that are known as cuproenzymes or copper enzymes, which work in a myriad of ways to help almost every metabolic function in the body. And without the copper, these proteins don't hold their form. And when there is no form, there is no function. So copper plays a critical role in so many things, and yet we've been told to be frightened, and it can be toxic so easily. Yet it's a lot higher in terms of quantitative ingestion to result in toxicity of the wrong forms. So the breakthrough a few years ago was the bioactive copper hydrosol developed by our friends at Natural Immunogenics, and they developed a form in water that was fully bioactive and bioavailable in the copper 1, copper 2 state that required no digestive breakdown processes, so you have complete absorbability from instantaneous connection through the mucosa of the mouth or anywhere in the digestive system, so nothing is wasted. Therefore, we can take fractions of the copper quantities we would normally need to achieve the recovery that we're looking for. And then, of course, for some of these quantities, if you're not metabolizing it well, can result in a bioaccumulation and toxicity, which we have none of that risk with the sovereign copper. So we can safely take even a tablespoon 6 times a day, and we've just achieved the 900 microgram recommended daily intake, which, as you know, if you know anything about RDI set by our government, they're set based on survivability, not encountering or countering disease states. So at 900 micrograms, that's your baseline. But if you're taking just half of that, 3 tablespoons a day, you're achieving far more than most supplemental forms of copper can achieve, even if they're a much greater quantity, because of the inefficiency of the digestive system to break down, get it into a bioavailable and bioactive form. So we risk no toxicity, and we have all of the bioavailability and bioactivity of fractions, almost homeopathic doses of copper or cuprum, that we can take on an ongoing basis. If we need to load initially, we're still not achieving toxic doses. And as we go to maintenance, we have efficiency of use as we taper down to 3, 2, or even 1 tablespoon a day. So there's my review or overview, and you guys, and you can ask more questions about that if there's anything that still concerns you.
That sounds like a good explanation. How much is recommended then? A day.
Well, I'll defer to both, anybody here, including Peter and Mel, on that. But I would say that when somebody is in systemic unremittent inflammation and pain, I would have them do even a tablespoon every hour of the day. And yet, it seems like a lot, but it is important that it can get you out of that pain and inflammation crisis within the same day, much less the next few days. And then you'll begin to taper down to six a day or three a day or even one a day when you have adequate bioavailable copper circulating through the system on a regular basis. But because I'm not in this group every time we have this meeting, I would ask Mel and Peter to add in what their experience has been as far as people loading phase versus the tapering to maintenance.
Pete, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. What a wonderfully comprehensive explanation of the significant role copper plays. Thank you, Robert. I would just add to it, you know, in the COVID environment, as Robert mentioned, many people were taking additional zinc. To be mindful that if you're doing that, you're going to need additional copper. It's going to deplete the copper in the body. I don't have any personal experience, Robert, with the bioactive copper. I rely on diet, and I seem to do okay. But the other thing I would want the folks here to understand, Mel, is the Morgellon structure has been identified by Clifford Carnicom, and I would agree with his conclusions as a cross-domain bacteria that creates iron disruption in the body, and copper is so critical to the hemoglobin in our red blood cells that a lot of the chronic fatigue that I believe that we experience with Morgellons can be directly related to the iron disruption. It's changing iron. This bacteria is changing iron from a ferric to a from a ferrous to a ferric state to where it can't deliver oxygen. So it can be very helpful, as Robert mentioned, for the mitochondrial function. I believe 900 mcgs is a good dose to load initially, and I would follow his dosing schedule that he laid out for you folks. I don't think I've had any experience with anybody that I've come alongside where it's done any harm. And again, I think if you're taking additional zinc, you've got to take additional copper. And then with the iron disruption with Morgellons, once again, it's very critical that we look to copper for to make sure we've got enough support in the hemoglobin in our red blood cells to properly respirate at the cellular level. And again, what it does with minerals at the mitochondrial level is critical as well. So, yeah, that would be my views on it, Mel. And then, Robert, thanks again. Wonderfully comprehensive explanation for us here. Appreciate it.
Well, Peter, before Mel comes in, I want to reiterate what you brought up in my short version I didn't get to, so thank you for adding that in. Iron dysregulation has everything to do with not having adequate bioactive copper in the system. So
absolutely,
when we don't have active copper, the iron becomes an inflammatory component and can't, as you mentioned, carry the oxygen necessary for normal human and metabolic functions. True for animals as well. We are part of that. So the blood flow, coagulation issues, any dysregulation of the vascular system, inflammation of the lining of the vascular system, also copper, selenium plays a critical role there for all heart and vascular issues. So to add to the energy and the oxygenation, the respiration issue, all of that, iron becomes problematic in the absence of copper, just like, you know, so many metabolic pathways are corrupted or don't occur at all in the absence of copper. So go ahead, Mel.
Amen.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because, you know, I was very reluctant when it first came out, and now I'm a huge advocate because I take both daily. Now, being an old ex-pirate, I don't really do teaspoons and tablespoons. I do swigs like it was a jug of rum. So in the morning, early on, I have a big slug of silver, and sometime down the road, still in the morning, I have that big slug of copper. And sometimes in the late afternoon, early evening, if I feel like I'm getting a little bit tired, I might take another swig of copper. But the protocol ain't proper if you don't take your copper. That's all I keep saying. Okay, and I believe it because I know it helps. Everyone who uses it, it helps them get to where they want to go quicker. Not quick, but quicker. That's all I have to say. All right, let's keep on Anything else, Donna, right now? Guess not. All right, 845-845, is that Norma?
Karen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting you live there, too. Hi, a question?
No, that was a good explanation. That was
oh, good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. All right, let's see now. Pete, do you have any questions you want to ask?
Actually, I do. I appreciate you referring to Robert. I was curious, you know, I'm seeing an increase in incident of POTS and not really well schooled in that. I was wondering if you had, what your thoughts are on POTS, or if you had any, you know, nutrient support, any foods, any ways to put in place a protocol for people that might be dealing with POTS.
Well, have you guys discussed this before? I don't want to step on any toes, but, you know, I will say, you know, one of the starting points for my journey back to health, long before I knew, you know, a fraction of what I know today, was through the gut and the liver. And the restoration of the gut, the rapid acceleration of that became possible when we began to use the Silver Aloe Gut Recovery Protocol. And that was the key. You know, the interface from the outside world to the inside world is the epithelial lining of the gastrointestinal tract. It's your barrier. When it is intact and the microbiome is healthy and balanced, then, you know, everything is working accordingly and proper production of neurotransmitters, endocrine compounds, et cetera, are occurring. So when that is disrupted, and it is for most Westerners like me, my included, raised on antibiotics, damaged by additives, preservatives, colorings, flavorings, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, GMOs, heavy metals, et cetera, our fundamental starting point has to be restoration of integrity of that interface to the outside world, right? When we have intact skin, it's a barrier. When that skin is broken, it becomes a vulnerable open door to things that are always in the environment that can never access those points. So we deal with leaky gut, colitis, Crohn's, et cetera. All of these things relate even to POTS and other things. And how do we restore the tight junctions, the healthy integrity of the connective tissue there? So the Silver Aloe Gut Recovery Protocol has been a primarily 2, 4, 6, or 8 week protocol involving the bioactive silver hydrosol with aloe to drive it into the gut to accelerate recovery by downregulating tissue inflammation locally and upregulating regeneration of the healthy new tissue, which is what silver supports that process of dedifferentiation of stem cells locally. And in addition, of course, can address dysbiosis, the imbalance, the overgrowth of bacterial species or even fungal species that don't belong there or certainly don't belong in an overgrowth state. Now, we've done this, and I've done this with many doctors over decades now with great success, never having to go beyond 8 weeks in the most extreme examples for achieving that normalization of the interface by restoring the epithelial lining. But since we have the copper, it's greatly accelerated even that protocol, which was already accelerated from my experience without it being 2 years of intense work to 2 months to sometimes shorter now. So I want to set that as an establishment baseline of anything that we're dealing with, whether it be called POTS or otherwise, that if we don't restore the healthy integrity of the epithelial barrier to the outside world within us, then everything else is chasing, you know, if you will, symptoms and suppressing those symptoms just to get by. So I'm going to pause there if Peter wants to add, or if you have additional questions, because I could chase those things, even name diagnoses, but I really want to get back to the basics here.
No, that makes sense. I appreciate that. I've had great success with your aloe silver protocol, by the way, so that makes sense. The other question I have for you, Robert, is quercetin, in your humble opinion, does that act in the same capacity as hydroxychloroquine for those people that may be looking for, you know, a nutraceutical substitute? Would that, I know it's an ionophore, but does it serve the same role basically as hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah, botanically speaking and nutritive speaking, to not have to rely on even a safe level of a drug that, you know, still a drug, I'm pretty hardcore that if I can achieve something without those things, and I can, that I'm not going to resort to them. Now, I recognize that many people have succeeded with these zinc ionospores from the drug world, but the quercetin, if you have a good source of it, can serve a similar purpose that may preclude the need for resorting to something like that. So the hydroxychloroquine has been used as a medicine. It's based on the quinolone or the quinine, which is the cinchona, the bark, the Peruvian bark that was the initial homeopathic remedy developed by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann over 200 years ago now. So we can do this botanically and even homeopathically. And then if you need a heavy hitter like the quote-unquote safer drug category, it's an option, but in many cases it's not needed.
Great, thank you. One last question. What are your views on supplementing? I advocate for eggs as a good source of lactoferrin, again, for the iron disruption and iron management in the body. Do you have any views on supplementing lactoferrin, whether it's safe or whether you would consider it advisable or not?
Well, I've done it over the years with, what do they call it, the first milk, right, coming before the milk sets in. We talk about the colostrum, and that contains often naturally occurring lactoferrin, which is fine as a, because it's coming in as a food source. But once again, the key is the copper. And when the copper is in, you may not need an additional boost for the lactoferrin. Maybe you find you do, but I've seen in most cases it's no longer necessary to do additional supplementation there.
Great. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, Robert, can you see why I say the protocol ain't proper if you don't use the copper?
Yeah, that's a great line. I love it.
Thank you very much. All right, let's move along. Linda, good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Question?
Go ahead. My questions have really kind of been answered because I'm dealing with, my doctor said long COVID, chronic fatigue, and also the skeletal issues. And if copper is the answer to all of that, then that's great. I mean, is there anything else that you could add to that, Robert, to help with these conditions?
Well, I mean, there's always the bioindividuality aspect of this. As we talk about a protocol that works across a broad spectrum of people in this community, there's no question that it's critically important. Are there ever any cases that Mel or Peter or I have run into that said, oh my gosh, in this case, there's a unique need that has to be addressed that, you know, maybe only you or only a smaller percentage of our group here? That's always something we must remain sensitive to. And, you know, here we come to the big question of long COVID. What is it? How to address it? Etc. Now, the good news is I've interviewed, I believe, 29 different experts from around the world for my long COVID masterclass. And you guys can be almost the first people to sign up for free to it. And we're going to be sending out an email this weekend, probably tomorrow. If you're not already signed up for my free newsletter at robertscottbell.com, please do. If you're new, you can text my initials, RSB, for Robert Scott Bell. Text it to the number 66866. So if you enter the text field 66866, that's the number you're going to send it to, and you'll just enter into the text, into the where you enter a message. You put RSB into that, text it to 66866, and you'll be prompted to enter your email address. That way, by tomorrow, you do that today, you'll get the first email that will give you a direct link to sign up for free to the Long COVID Masterclass, which is going to go into so much detail. And I'm not saying everybody needs everything that's presented, but you might find that in one or more of the presentations with these different doctors and scientists, that something will resonate. It's like, that's the missing link for me, right? It's not one size fits all, even though here we have established a very important protocol that now includes, of course, the copper as well. But there are cases that happen. This is just the nature of being a human being. We're all unique. That we find one thing that's unique to us that might not be necessary for anybody else in the group. And we have to remain sensitive to that. So I would say, in answer to that, sign up for the Long COVID Masterclass. It is absolutely free. If you want to upgrade and get everything right away, it's incredibly cheap to do so, and you'll have access to that immediately. But I just want you to have access to that right now, because I was overwhelmed and blown away by the amount of information that's out there. And not everybody agrees with everybody. But that is also the nature of our human experience. because there are perspectives that, you know, people come with their own biases or trainings or lack of training. But overall, you see this beautiful big picture of tapestry created, and you'll be able to pick out one or more things that might be unique to you. That is the difference between your success moving forward and lingering issues that you can't overcome.
You know, Robin, I'm going to jump in here and say we have something called the guiding principles. And it's a subheading on the website in the big black border. And the second of the guiding principles after first do no harm is everybody's body is different. And all through the years, depending on who it might be, we've had to make individual decisions on things that were necessary in a person's particular case. That's why we have conferences with you, Peter, John, and whoever needs those bit of additional information, supplementation. Your program will be brought to the website here and will be able to be played on our website after it's done. How's that sound?
That's great.
Good. I'm glad you feel that way. I think you're great, sir. All right. Linda, anything else?
No, that pretty much answers it. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Linda.
All right. You're going to like this next one, RSB. Come in, Sunny. Sunny of Sunnybrook Farm.
Hi. Robert, I just have one small question. With the copper... I don't want to antidote it with cuprum metallicum. Will that antidote it if you take the homeopathic cuprum metallicum?
No, cuprum is interesting because as a homeopathic remedy, I've primarily used it over the years for varicose veins and vascular issues. Mm. But I've also found that people, if they're not metabolizing copper properly, doing the cuprum can help the utilization of copper. So rather than antidoting, it enhances the body's ability to use it appropriately. Or in the case of someone who has overdone it with copper, it can help neutralize the intensity of the experience. Or in the case of people that have been overwhelmingly ingesting copper unbeknownst to them and maybe the rare time copper toxic, you could take the homeopathic form of zinc, zincum metallicum, and or the supplemental form of zinc, and you'll reduce the copper excess immediately. But as a general rule, cuprum metallicum is not going to antidote the good work you're doing by getting copper in you.
Okay. I was taking every so often I would take it for like muscle contractions.
Sure.
If I have a spasm or something. And I have a feeling that that might be because of the zinc not having enough of the copper, the sovereign copper.
Correct.
Because I haven't been
correct. Yeah, and also we know magnesium addresses muscle contractions and spasms right. and things, and that was usually sufficient. But there are times where you find that even the magnesium is not enough, and you add the copper in, and suddenly the spasms are gone. So that's a great recognition of the relationship between magnesium and copper, and particularly in ATP production in terms of muscular or anywhere else, any cell. So that makes all the sense in the world.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Robert, would you repeat that again? I think that was quite significant. The last thing you just said.
Well, talking about the role of cuprum or the role of copper and magnesium relationship?
Yeah, together.
Oh, good Lord. Well,
all right, never mind. Thank God. We have it recorded, buddy. We have it recorded. All right, you know me. Got to make a joke here and there. All right. Anything else, Sonny?
No, that's all. Thank you.
No, thank you, dear. We're so glad you joined us today. Catching up with you is not always so easy. All right, good morning, Miss Cheryl. Come in, Cheryl.
Hey, Mel. It's been really, really interesting to listen to Robert Scott Bale
talk about the copper. Just amazing, amazing information. So thank you very much, Robert Scott Bell, for all of this fantastic information.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And that's all
right, well, Cheryl, no, I know you. She's shy at times and then not so shy other times. All right. Oh, here comes my favorite spy couple, Mr. and Mrs. What's their names? Diane and Paul. Come in, please.
Hi, good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. This is Diane. Robert, I have a question regarding 5G or 4G. We're now unplugging our Wi-Fi at night.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, because I was starting to feel all kinds of effects whenever I got on my laptop at home. So when we unplug that Wi-Fi at night, does that signal dissipate like immediately, or does it take time for that signal to dissipate your home?
No, it's a real-time dissipation immediately. It stops sending. Now, the impact that you've had on the exposure to it might take time to dissipate because of the inflammatory response within the body. But I think one of the most rapid ways, and I think we did a little discussion last time on some of this EMF, is the grounding options that you have. Obviously, if you can, what they call earth, you get barefoot, you step on the earth, it's amazing how immediate the dissipation can occur. But in our homes, often it's more difficult because, you know, we have carpet and different things like that. But the grounding pads, and you don't have to get a whole grounding mattress, but if you want, or a mattress pad, but we just put the little Huga grounding pad under our pillows. And we have, of course, the Silverite pillows. Silver threads are wonderful because they do conduct. And so the moment we go to sleep, you know, and we're laying on our pillow on the grounding mat, it's a dissipation of even ongoing things beyond your Wi-Fi router, because unless you're in far afield in the mountainous terrain where there's no towers at all, there's still going to be some level of exposure. So how do we dissipate that? And that's through the grounding back to the earth. And so these grounding pads are very reasonable in terms of price, and they do indeed work. So that has been the strategy, even if you can't turn off the router at night for whatever emergency reason or other things like that. Having a connection to a grounding pad will dissipate the intensity and the worst effects, if you will, of the exposure on an ongoing basis.
And can you just get those anywhere, or where would I find the grounding pad?
Yeah, you can go on, not that I'm a big fan of Amazon, but who doesn't use it, but you can find the Huga grounding pads on Amazon, or just directly on their website. And there are other forms of them. You might want to check to be sure that the reviews are good, but I know that the Huga works, and most of them do, in fact, work.
How do you, what was that first name they said, Huza?
H-O-O-G-A.
No,
H-O-O-G-A.
Sorry.
I was close.
Yeah.
What? How do you spell it, Robert?
H-O-O-G-A.
Okay, great. All righty.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Where's your other hand? Where's your other hand?
I think Paul has a question, too.
Has hey, a Robert. Question? Good.
Yeah, hi, Robert. So that grounding pad, I guess going a little bit deeper maybe, but the grounding pad would help with the fact that, you know, we have neighbors and they all have Wi-Fi going.
Right.
So you can only do so much in your own house with your family environment. So the grounding pad would help with all that?
Correct. Because, yeah, we control what we have in our home, but, man, if you look at your computer, how many does it pick up? You know, if you
exactly.
live in an apartment
yeah.
complex in New York City, it'll be 1,000 of them. If you're in a single-family home, it might only be a few that can reach you, which is a little better. But then again, look out beyond your homes and see where's the nearest cell tower. So there's no way to turn it off completely. So our best strategy ultimately is to be in that grounded state as much as possible to dissipate that which comes in that we can't account for, and, you know, transit it, send it back into the earth, which can handle it.
Okay, so it helps not only with Wi-Fi, but with the cell towers. Correct. Nice. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. What's-Your-Names. All right, we move along now to Catherine of the Desert. Come in, Catherine.
Hi, Robert. Nice to have you here today. I just have two questions for you. I've recently been having problems with tremors in my hands only. It comes and goes. Are you familiar with that?
Well, yeah, tremors are unfortunately part of a lot of the neurodegenerative conditions due to long-term exposure to heavy metals and or nutrient or mineral deficiencies. And a big part of that comes back to the copper, magnesium, but also the silicon or silica. Silica is the computer chip. It's also the chip of the brain, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about artificially. I'm talking about naturally occurring. The brain, nervous system, all connective tissue also requires silicon. Connective tissue integrity also is, you know, electrical in nature. So the nervous system needs to be nourished and supported. And again, we come back to copper. We come back to silica and selenium and magnesium. But also remember the fats. The fats play a huge role in neurological health. And our fear of fat has been a great process, or let's say a degradation process, by fearing saturated fat and cholesterol. Cholesterol is the primary fat making up most of your brain and nervous system, including the insulation sheath known as the myelin. So look to see that you're getting adequate saturated fats in your system, including from clean animal sources, if you do animal sources. If not, coconut oil would be important with the medium-chain triglycerides as well. But the fats are the key here for insulation and normalization of functioning of the nerves, so that kind of twitching or shaking, or, you know, however you describe these things, can minimize and then reverse.
All right. Well, Peter's had his hand up, and I just realized it, which is great because one of the few that can do that. Pete, what's up, buddy?
Oh, well, hi, Kat. First of all, for Catherine, I mentioned before, but I want to make sure she doesn't overlook, look into the potential for vitamin B2 deficiencies to kind of maybe increase the tremors as well. And then the cholesterol levels, if her primary care is telling her to get cholesterol down, I don't know that I would follow that, because I think that cholesterol is, as Robert said, very important. But I had a question for Robert. So I would look to B2. I think I mentioned that before to you, Catherine, to see if you can have your B2 tested. You may need to supplement that, or you may be deficient in that. Robert, I had a question on your a long-term COVID class. I was wondering if it addresses what are known as these alpha-7 nicotinic acetylcholine receptors and the use of low-dose nicotine to resolve taste and smell issues with long-term COVID. If your class addresses that, and if you have any particular views on that, I've been looking into that according to the work of Dr. Artis. I know you've come alongside him in the past with some of your views, sharing the same views with snake venoms and such. I was wondering if you could mention that, and if your class includes information on that.
Oh, yeah. And among the 29 interviews I did, Brian Artis is one, so we do address the nicotinic receptors as well, the reason for them, and various ways to address it from, you know, external nicotine to dietary nicotine that comes in through certain plants, and also the homeopathic form of nicotine. So, yes, that's definitely inclusive. And, you know, when you talk about B2 or various forms of the B vitamins deficiencies, that's also a very real part. Sometimes you have to correct that if somebody is, you know, extremely vegetarian or vegan, supplemental to help the nervous system and the brain as well. And to your point, you know, when the doctors say you need to reduce cholesterol, that's one of the most irresponsible things that a doctor can ever do among many things that they do. When the whole motivation initially, of course, was heart disease, but fully half of the people with heart disease or heart attacks have high cholesterol, but guess what? The other half have low cholesterol. So the relationship between cholesterol and heart disease is not a direct one. If anything, it would be indirect due to inflammation of the vasculature, because the liver is toxic, we have heavy metals, all the same things that we discuss on and on over and over again. So if somebody has a concern for the epithelial or endothelial lining and its production of nitric oxide, I've mentioned the Cardio Miracle is a wonderful formula that actually does more than just help facilitate nitric oxide production within the vascular system, but also enhances the body's ability to activate the stored vitamin D, as in David, for those that are concerned about D deficiency. Most people have adequate D or can get it, but often are not able to utilize it because the pathways to utilize it are corrupted due to these other deficiencies, minerals and otherwise. And because it's a comprehensive whole food product, it opens up the pathways to activate the stored D, so you need far less or maybe none extra at all, depending on who you are. And the other aspect of our recovery is cellular autophagy. That's why many of us learn fasting as a healing technique, whether it be intermittent or longer-term fast, because it enhances the body's ability to use at a deep cellular level this process of recycling some of the waste that can be recycled and reused, and then, of course, eliminating totally the waste that cannot be recycled more efficiently. And that fasting process is enhanced, of course, by the formulation that's in the Cardio Miracle as well, as another adjunct for those that need it.
Amen. And I would I'm glad you agree that I would look to 75, 80 years ago, cholesterol levels of 280 were considered normal. Now they want you under 200. Considering it's a growth hormone, it's terrible what they're doing in that regard. Also, with the use of statins, would you agree that CQ10 would be a supplemental for helping those people that are on statins or have had a history of statins in terms of how those statins reduce CQ10? I know Mel's protocol includes it. John provides it free of charge with the wellness protocol. But would you agree to additional supplements of CQ10 if you've had a history of statins or on statins would be advisable?
Well, first of all, if your doctor prescribes statin, you should fire your doctor. They're morons. They're medical morons. But if you're on it, yes. In fact, the original patent for the statin drugs, I believe it might have been Mevacor, included coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, as an adjunct addition to the drug itself because they knew it depleted that, and that resulted in a whole host of problems at the cellular and heart level. So if you are taking it, without doubt, you have to supplement. And obviously, you've heard us clearly, that there is no legitimate reason to be on a statin drug.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, brother.
All right, let's keep on keeping on, Pete. Okay, Lori, you're next.
Yeah.
Come in, Lori.
Hi, Lori here. I was on muting. Thanks, Dr. Robert Scott, for coming and sharing again. You're always so helpful. I've been listening to all this stuff and wrote down a few things. And first, I wanted to say the protocol of Mel's has been so wonderful to me. I looked like death when I came, but I just had my son's wedding and I had more compliments. And people can't believe I look as young as I am. I can't. It's just amazing what it has done for me. I wondered about the cardio, mixing that with, because I don't have any heart problem or anything, but mixing that with a protocol, I probably wouldn't need to do that, or does it mix with this protocol?
I heard some noise behind what you were saying, so please repeat. I want to make sure I understood what you asked.
Okay, so the protocol, Mel's protocol has got kind of everything in it. Mixing cardio with that protocol, is that something that...
Yeah. Oh, I understand now. Thank you for repeating that. So the Cardio Miracle is a food product, so it's really not contraindicated. The only thing is if you're doing a high-protein supplement at the same time, it might compete with the similar receptors, but not typically contraindicated in any way other than for, people that do like high protein shakes, right? Don't take it at the same time. That's all, so you have maximum efficacy. So no, it's a wonderful product and I don't believe it would conflict.
Okay, thank you. The other one was the rays that come from the 5G. So somebody sent me a copper cloth, because I do struggle with that. I notice I wake up all night long, and not until you did your thing did I realize I believe it's a 5G. So I go in my phone every night and I turn it on, you know, mode or whatever, airplane mode. But I'm in a very small place right now, and so everybody in the building here has everything going. And so, and I am going to look into that mat. But have you ever heard of the copper cloth? Because I've been wrapping my phone up in it at night.
Oh, so you're putting your phone in a copper cloth. Is that what I understand?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Somebody said that would help. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would probably limit some of the inflow and outflow to it, as with a silver cloth. Both of them are protective in terms of that, although the best thing would be a Faraday bag, but then it won't, your phone won't work at all while it's in that, unless you know, you pull it out. So yeah, that could be a reduction, if you will, not a full elimination, but as I said, in combination with the concept, especially when you're sleeping more than any time else, because you're just receptively receiving anything going on around you, making sure that you have either a grounding mat of some kind, you know, some of them are whole mattress pads, but for me, I've just elected to use the silver pillow on top of the grounding mat that I'll use at the same time during the day, you know, for under my computer. You know, I'll move them. Or else, if you realize they're not that expensive, get a bunch of them and have them set up on any electronic equipment that you're regularly using, so that when you're using them, not only are they grounded, but you're grounded as well when you're touching it.
Okay, great. And the silver works also, huh? Because I have silver sheets. And silver, yeah, I use those in the silver.
Yeah, and the silver sheets will be conductive to help you ground, especially when you have a grounding mat, like even, again, under your pillow at that point.
Okay.
Or even under your legs, wherever, that would help.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And there was one other, that shaking. I used to get that shaking really bad, but as the protocols began to work, I think it was just the disease itself that would just, I'd shake all night, and then it would stop, and I just figured that there was just movement. So the protocol seems that's lightened up a whole lot. Just I get that once in a while now. Because I don't really understand exactly what these things are. I've read all the stuff on, but I just don't understand how they can have, be connected to a weather and all that stuff, and they're so tiny that they could have like little computers or something in them. I don't quite understand, but they are very interesting. And maybe one day we'll all understand it. I don't know. The Invectrin that I did buy, the HMCTN one, and he did send out when I bought it a note that he had to replace one of the items, and I don't remember which one it was, and I didn't know if it was a government thing or what, so I'm hoping that it's going to work the same as it did with your daughter.
Yeah, well, we still utilize it regularly, and I believe it will. So, but do report back when you know, and the main thing to understand is that the protocol works. Whether you ever understand what the hell they're doing to us, the protocol works, and that's the fundamental bottom line here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, amen to
that. That's what I've always said. Can't explain it all the time, but it works. All right, we got a hand up. We're going to come back up to you in a minute. Let me just finish getting everybody in once. Okay, come in, Nancy. Thank you, Lori.
Good afternoon. Hi, Robert. Glad you're here. I have a major problem with constipation, and I've been to doctors and tried everything under the sun. And right now I'm going through a terrible phase of it with my stomach swelling and taking everything, you know, natural to try to go to the bathroom. And I have an appointment with a doctor the last of this month, but I really don't want to go there. Do you have any I can't even talk this morning, I'm sorry.
Recommendations. No problem.
Thank you, ma'am. or something like that.
Well, you know, I don't know enough about your particular history there, but I can give you a general overview. you know, some of it, when you talk about bloating and distension, that's usually a microbiome dysbiosis imbalance, and that, of course, will be addressed safely via the Silver Aloe Gut Recovery Protocol, and that can neutralize the dysbiosis very rapidly, but also, more importantly, downregulate the inflammation of the lining of the gut and restore and regenerate the lining, including the villi that are critical for the home for the microbiome, and also motility, movement through the GI tract that has been immobilized due to any number of things that have created the constipation. Now, you do the Silver Aloe Gut Recovery Protocol, that may be enough, but also think about hydration. If you're not hydrating enough, that's a huge part of constipation or difficult movement, so drinking more water, clean water, and magnesium. Once again, you can take magnesium to bowel intolerance and it'll cause a loose stool move on through. I'm not encouraging that necessarily, but I recommend to take 100% whole food form of magnesium. We do the food research magnesium I get from choosetobehealthy.com. Do one or two of the tablets along with, you know, obviously water at night, first thing in the morning, same thing, repeat. And you can go higher than that if you need to. And that is also very resolving, the magnesium, bringing it into the GI tract. Again, there are forms of magnesium that are somewhat synthetic that can create bowel intolerance a lot easier. And if you're going for that just to get movement, that's one thing. But corrective, I use the whole food form of magnesium, one or two tablets at night, one or two tablets first thing in the morning to ease the movement through the GI tract.
Okay, well, I'm just about at the end with all my other stuff, and then I broke out with shingles, and then my sister just got put on hospice this week. So it's been a difficult time to get through, but and that, I don't know if that's made it worse or what. But
well, stress plays a huge role in intestinal motility and bowel movement as well as regularity. Magnesium, of course, can relax a lot of the tension and stress once again. Copper and magnesium together we talk about as well. Other things that can help in terms of botanicals and homeopathy to deal with the stress. These are things to look into because of that. Now, shingles is often the result of selenium deficiency, and both silver and selenium work together to neutralize the herpes zoster varicella.
Okay, Mel, you got this. We'll get together and get it done.
Well, no, I was going to ask you, Nancy, do you got this? The good news is, Nancy, it's recorded, okay?
I'm writing it down.
We always do.
Robert, we always appreciate everything you do and all the advice you give us, and you've been a godsend to Mel and to a lot of other people. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Nancy.
Okay, I'm going to call the hands up. This is wonderful. People have learned how to get their hands raised. First was Mr. and Mrs. What's their names? Diane and Paul, come on back in, guys.
Hi, Robert. This is Paul. A couple times you've mentioned something about a silver pillow, and I'm curious, is it the pillow itself or is it just a pillow cover that has silver threads in it?
Correct, yes. The pillow cover, I use the Silverite Global pillow, but I don't know if there are others that are making it. The pillows that I use have Kapok in them because they're hydrophobic. They don't bring in moisture. They are very resistant to the microbial growth that happens in pillows that have synthetic or foam inserts. And you can also use the real natural rubber, latex, whatever, if you're not allergic. But the external case is the silver thread, exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then another question was, wondering about the silver and aloe for the gut. And what was the formula? How would you recommend taking that combination?
Well, I'm sure Mel has the chapter for my book available because I put it up on my website for free. But it involves an ounce of the sovereign silver and an ounce of aloe vera juice mixed together three times a day on an empty stomach. And then you do pre-probiotic replenishment at night while on it. Could be as little as two weeks for the minor issues, 4, 6, or 8 weeks for the most severe circumstances. And now you could also add a little bit of the copper hydrosol And you can play with quantities depending on, you know, your needs. But the basic protocol is that.
Okay.
So, Robert, you actually...
Hold on. You can find this by going to the search engine and putting, you know, those words in the search engine, and it'll bring it up from either a phone call or when we posted it after the phone call. Go ahead, Diane.
I just wanted to be sure that you actually mix them together.
Oh, yeah. Robert?
What? As far as, yeah, the mixing? Yeah, you don't store them mixed together. You do it right before use. So they're separate. The silver is separate. The aloe is separate. You mix them together at the appropriate quantities that you need and then take them right away.
Okay, got it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Yes, you are. All right, Catherine of the Desert, come on back in.
Yes. Yes, I got cut off before I finished my questions before. Peter, in response to your about the vitamin B, yes, I did get your information on that, and I had the blood work done, and that blood work came in too high on vitamin B that I'm having in my body. So I have plenty of vitamin B. I've had to cut back on it for the tremors.
That's good.
Oh, no, he hears you.
Yeah, at least you know now that it's not vitamin B deficiency, vitamin B2 particularly. So, I would focus on the fats that Robert mentioned and supporting your the myelin. Take your discovery into how to support the myelin sheaths in your neurological network, and that should give you some ideas on where to go as well.
My other question, Robert, is I've been having a lot of trouble with choking. Just can't clear my throat. Do you have a solution to that?
Hold on a second. Hey, Robert, you brought this up to me yesterday or the day before in a coaching thing, and I told her that, you know, it always lends to how everybody is so different. I never heard of anything like this in all these years.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sure.
Well, that is that bioindividuality again. It's unique for her. So without knowing exactly why it's happening in her, to utilize the various remedies in homeopathy that may be indicated, including lachesis and phytolacca, L-A-C-H-E-S-I-S, lachesis, and phytolacca, P-H-Y-T-O-L-A-C-C-A, phytolacca. It's known as poke root. And then if it's more deep below the throat in terms of lung issues, I would always start with a dose of Bryonia alba, which will work with both the lungs and the liver, and then follow on with the other remedies that may be indicated. And there may be others, but, you know, I do a homeopathic hit every day on my show. For those that want to have access to the documents, they're downloadable for free in each day's show notes, or if you become a patron supporter of the show, and that's like literally nothing, it could be $4.99 a month, when we have also the audio video versions of all of the homeopathic hits that I go through the various remedies, so you can learn one by one what might be appropriate for you. But I just threw out a couple of ideas at least to get you started.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so next we have Yolanda.
Yes, hi, thank you. First, I have a question about that herbal mectin. Where to get that? And I have a hard time. I can hear it, but it's all like fuzzy for me. So could you spell out the place?
Yeah, it's two words. Health Saves. HealthSaves.org.
Okay, thank you for that. Also, for the copper, do you have to take zinc in order to have the copper be balanced, or could you just take the copper by itself?
Because the quantities of the sovereign copper are so low, but of course bioactive and bioavailable, we're not disrupting the zinc in the body. You would have to drink gallons of the stuff to create that scenario. but the opposite may be more true. When you take zinc, it has an inordinately large impact on copper. It would be harder to disrupt zinc, especially with the form of copper we're using.
Okay, and also for your website, I'm not sure how to get on to get on your mailing list.
Yeah, it's robertscottbell.com, and it should pop up on your computer screen to sign up for the email when you go there for the first time. If not, you can text my initials, RSB, to the number 66866. And it will prompt you right away to enter your email address on your phone, and that will plug you into the newsletter.
Okay. Thank you for that. And this hydrochloroquine, that has to be prescribed by the doctors, right?
In the United States, hydroxychloroquine is still considered a prescription drug. So, yeah, you'd have to get a prescription for it.
Okay, and when you were talking about all your homeopathic medicines, you can't get them on Amazon. All they have is the Dr. Schuster's 12 cell salts. That's about it. Where would you get the ones you've prescribed, actually?
Well, you know, if you do a search for those remedies, they'll come up through Amazon if you have Amazon. So I don't know why you can, unless you're somewhere where they don't sell them. But if not, then, you know, you find the manufacturers directly that are available to, you know, that carry the single remedies that you want to order as needed.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Yolanda. Okay, Pete, I'm going to turn you loose again. See what we got here, Peter. What's up? Oh. Sometimes we got muted again. I unmuted him. He muted himself. There you go.
Yeah. A couple things for Nancy. The people I come alongside with constipation issues. I don't normally advocate for products, but there is one product that has just worked hand down time and time again in my experience. It's a whole food organic fiber. And I think what helps it work is it has organic acacia fiber, organic apple fiber, which I think is real important, organic baobab fruit, and organic agave inulin. And it also includes a particular enzyme called alpha-galactosidase. You can mix it into almost anything. It's food-based, and it's presented by a company by the name of MRM Nutrition. M is in Mary, Ralph, M is in Mary Nutrition. If you take that and then combine it with radishes, believe it or not, in your diet, it should loosen your stool within a couple days. I've seen it work time and time again. And the other thing that you can look into is a particular form of chiropractic care called advanced biostructural correction, which aligns the spine in the ways that the nerves fire to increase the peristalsis, what it's called, or the movement of the food through the gut. If you look to those three strategies, time and time again, I've seen that resolve serious cases of constipation in the people I've worked with. There was something else that I had asked Robert, but it's not coming to mind right now, so maybe you could come back to me, Mel. Anyway, I hope that helps, Nancy.
Thank you, Peter.
You bet.
All righty. Is there anybody else who might have a question that they want answered right now? Here and now.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Cheryl, is that you, Cheryl?
Yes, I was wondering when Robert Scott Bell said that selenium and silver will neutralize shingles. I was wondering how much selenium is that like a selenium supplement? And you take it at the same time you take your silver, or exactly how that works?
Yeah, well, I defer to supplemental selenium in a food form, of course, not a synthetic isolate or a artificial amino acid chelate. And the selenium I've been using, and, you know, just so you know, I'm not brand loyal, I'm product-specific loyal, because sometimes a company can make one really good product and other stuff's not so good. So I've seen things transition over the years. So right now,
The latest, greatest form of selenium that's 100% whole food is from Absolute Wellness. And it's we get it at choosetobehealthy.com, which you guys have known about since I brought that to your attention. And that replaces the food research. Now it's 200 micrograms per capsule, which is more efficient, so you don't have to take as many. If I'm dealing with somebody with an outbreak, a shingles outbreak, I may have them on like 4 to 5 of these capsules a day, so they're getting between 800 to 1,000 micrograms of selenium to replenish the system that's been depleted that allows for the so-called viral activity. The silver is more the acute interaction protocol, a teaspoon 7 times a day. If you want to do the Argentin 23, which is the professional strength in those circumstances to get out of it faster, that's fine. The selenium is a food in that case. You're taking it with food or without, doesn't matter because it's coming in as a food. The silver, of course, is being administered sublingually, primarily before swallowing, because it's in the ion state so that it accesses the lymph and the blood so it can be transformed or, let's say, transferred anywhere in the body to neutralize, and or you can use it locally in an area of outbreak to stop viral replication and get back on the regenerative and less inflammatory mode to heal the tissue.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Wow. That was terrific. All right, Lori, come on back in, Lori.
I was going to ask the same on the selenium, but I wondered if it was in our protocol.
I don't think so.
No.
Indeed.
Yeah, John has addressed this numerous times, and he has provided the notion that you do get adequate support in the micronutrients and in the area of things like chromium and selenium and copper. I do believe the hydrosol copper is a very good addition to this protocol. But again, John has indicated that you do get adequate support through the thymic formula on this protocol. The other thing I remembered, Mel, real quick, for whoever was asking about homeopathy, if you have a Sprouts in your area, I believe most Sprouts have a very comprehensive homeopathic section with at least, probably 35 to 50 different types of homeopathic remedies. I am not a homeopath. I have nowhere near the knowledge or the wisdom that Robert does, but if you want to, again, look to Sprouts in your area for whatever your discovery or Robert's website might provide to you for homeopathic remedies, you might be able to find them available to you in their health food section.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Okay, well, it looks like Yolanda got one more. Come in, Yolanda.
Hi. I just had a thought for Nancy. Like, I have trouble with constipation, and there's this website called The Poop Doc. It's amazing. This product's really amazing. It really works. For years, I was using the Cascara Sagrada, and then it just stopped working. And this stuff is just great. So it's just to offer it, just to check it out.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Yolanda. All right. One last chance. Anybody have any more questions for Robert? Okie doke. Robert, what would you like to say in closing? And really a big thank you from a mammoth crowd here today.
Well, always glad to join you guys, and I appreciate all your work, Mel and Peter and everybody that's helping one another. I love that about the community. That's what I've tried to establish with my show, and you guys are always welcome in that community as well. You're like family. So, as we, wrap up, the unique circumstance questions, which there are many, always going to be some, there are times where you need extra of something, right? And, like that last question of shingles, et cetera, that even though we might have adequate quantities coming in certain circumstances that are just fine, when you have unusual things occur, the body is demanding, I need more of something. And if you learn what that is, then you can overcome that. And even, the homeopathic knowledge I have, like Rus toxicodendron is often indicated for shingles outbreak. So, you know, there's always something more you can do to accelerate recovery so you don't suffer any longer than you have to. But that's the point of all of these meetings, is to be able to discuss not only the basics over and over again until they're ground and pound into us so we do them, but to also learn about those unique circumstances from time to time so we are adequate to the task, because life is life. We're going to encounter things that, you know, we might call a curveball here and there. But with the base knowledge that we have, we're much more able to adapt to those circumstances and, again, not have to suffer mysteriously or otherwise for prolonged periods, because there's always an option. In nature, there's always an answer. So I'm grateful to be able to continue to share that on my show 5 days a week live, and one additional day when I pre-record an hour. And otherwise, I'd love for you guys to be part of that if you haven't done so already.
All right, well, you've never said no, my brother, so I could never thank you quite enough. And you always bring something new to the table every single time. That's why you're always setting a 10. Oh, wait, we got one. Oh, Peter's got something to say. Come in, Peter.
Yeah, but Robert, I just wanted to verify. I think I saw you'll be speaking at a conference in September. Is it in Dallas, Texas, for male subscribers? Is that correct?
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. There's always upcoming events, and I try to keep that up on my website. But, yeah, the Healing for the Ages event, doctors, artists, Schmidt, Ely, and group have invited me and I think two other doctors into their fold for the first time. So that will be a live event in Dallas. And if you go to healingfortheages.com, you can sign up. It is not a free event, although they sometimes do free events surrounding it. But if you use my code RSB, you can save a little money when you sign up to be there in person. And they only serve organic food, which is nice too, so I can even eat. Or if you do the online, you can also stream it online as an option. And for those, I don't know who lives in the desert, but I'm going to go to the desert of Phoenix, just a real quick two-day trip on the 15th of July. That's a Monday evening. We're going to do an event with the Unjected group, unjected.com, and I'll be doing some education. I'm going to bring a lot of silver and copper and CardioMiracle gift bags for people that attend, and that's at the Giving Tree. It's an organic food vegan restaurant, no seed oils or anything, in Phoenix. That will be, again, Monday the 15th. And then, let's see, the Health Freedom Expo is happening at the end of September in Indianapolis. There's another event I'm going to be doing, I think, in November. We have the Red Pill Expo. It's going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there'll probably be more, but I appreciate you bringing that up. I always forget to mention upcoming events. So if any of you guys live in those areas, love to meet you in person.
That's a pretty prestigious group of folks that that have invited you in as well. So, and I did see where you're offering a break. So I just want to make sure Mel's audience knew that. Robert, thanks for all you're doing for the toxic disease community, and you've been a friend of this community for a long time. It's always an honor to come alongside you, brother. And thanks again for taking time out of your schedule to come alongside us this morning. We love you, bud.
You got it. Appreciate you too.
All right, one last thing here, by omission, and I believe it's because this person has been on the call before, and when I call their area code, they never wanted to talk. But let's just give it one last shot. Welcome, area code 530. Would you like to ask a question? Okay, I thought that might be the case. Okay, well, we're still glad you're here, we hope that you got a lot of good information out of this call, as I believe all of us did. Robert, we've been doing this together for a long time. You always make me feel joy, brother. Thank you so much for being willing to always come and lend your knowledge to the community that we've created here. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Happy to be with you guys. Appreciate all that you're doing.
Okay, how about everybody? You know how corny I am. On the count of three, we all say thank you, Robert. One, two, three. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. Till next time, guys. Take care.
God bless you.
You too.
All right, everybody. Bye. We'll be back tomorrow with the best 2 hours of the week. Sunday prayer, fellowship, get to know your fellow community members. Make friendships that could last a lifetime. And get knowledge that is never spoken when we record. God bless you all. See you tomorrow. And don't forget, next week, we've got Kathy from Natural Genesis. And a big, 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 big thank you once again for Robin Scott Bell. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, Mel.
Yep.
Hey, Mel.
I got a, after I got that, is that 503 still on, or 530? That's 530, right? Is
yeah, 530.
Yeah, she's still on?
No, no.
Okay, so after I got from Peter, when he sent out that, there's one of the things he sent out, on the what we have is that whole thing with that guy talks about that 25 years, or he's been watching it for 25 years, and he says it's destroying the world, you know. I think
right.
Those are the, anyway, okay, so after I got that, I started getting from a 530 number from California that I was being watched. They were texting me to watch what I was sending out and stuff, because I sent that out to somebody. As soon as I sent that out, boy, I started getting it. I had to delete it. So I questioned that number. So just thought I'd let you know.
Okay, well, we'll disconnect them next week or call long. They'll stop coming.
Because that was the same area code.
But they don't really have to come, you know. If they're somehow on the website, they can always come and listen to it recorded.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So, hey, it's a tough hole, you know. One day they will come for me, honey. Okay?
Yeah.
There's never been a doubt in my mind, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't really care. I go to heaven. It's got to be a lot easier than what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to worry about paying the rent and no shit like that. Goodbye and have a wonderful weekend.
Hey, yeah, you too. And I'll talk to you tomorrow the next day, God willing. Okay.
Hey.
Bye, Mel.
He's the one who kept me alive. When it's time to go, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
I will not go without a fight, I promise. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Good night and hallelujah.
Bye, Mel.
Bye.